I can tell you now, I missed that big board that was here last time. I was talking to Rowena and Claren at the feast. And by the way, I was with her all that time, and I'd only gone one day. She breaks her foot. I've been trying to monitor her for years, but I just cannot leave her alone. But we were talking about an article that I had laying on my desk and that I figured that I would read. And the title is, Why Does God Allow Wars and Suffering? And I have that on my desk and I look at it now and then. And I was talking to them and I told them that we should be able to tie this article with the Last Great Day. And I'll mention something else to you. I had a cataract taken off October the 8th. And I see all of you better this way, but I can't read my notes. I don't have my new glasses yet. They said I could take this one out and just throw it away, but that's where the trifocal and the bifocal is, so that doesn't work either. So as I try and read this, I'll still get by. Now, in studying this scripture on the last great day, I began to see and to truly understand this doctrine. You have to believe the Bible is literal. God has to reveal to us His truths, but you still have to believe the Bible is literal. The Bible can't be understood to be literal without understanding God's holy days. And even though I was trying to tie these two scriptures together, I come up with the fact that we have to believe the Bible is literal. Now, to prove that, I want you to turn to John 4:24. And this also answers another question. A lot of people comment on that, why did God call me? And this verse here is going to show you why they do, these two verses. John 4 and verse 22. You worshiped and you know not what. We know that we worship for salvation is of the Jews. But in verse 23, but the hour cometh, and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. So we have to worship God in spirit and in truth. But look at the next verse. God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. But it said that here that God is looking down to find out who is to worship Him. Well, we also know in John 17:17, we won't turn there, but the word the truth, the Bible, the truth is the Bible, the Word of God. So God says, I'm looking down to see who believes that this Bible is inspired and it is literal. Now, there are scriptures in the Bible that can only be true and proved by the holy days. The scriptures don't even make sense without understanding the holy days if you think the Bible was literal. Now, I come to the conclusion that during this sermon that the reason some people leave the church, they quit believing the Bible is literal. I can remember when I started to follow the truth of the Bible, a neighbor next door to me told me that you can prove God exists by the creation. And I look at the creation, I said, now if God can keep all of this perfectly, automatically down to the second, we can't even send somebody to the moon, the world is mathematically perfect, He can keep this book right. This shouldn't be too big of a job. So the research that I went on here helped me to reprove the holy days and reprove that the Bible is literal. And all of you knew, I don't know if you know Angie, but she came up here for a while. But I went to her for a massage, and she asked me one day, do you believe the Bible is literal? And I said, yes. She asked me that again, and I said, yes. And she told me that about a month before that, she told God that this Bible isn't literal. She was going to throw it away. And she'd been in church all of her life, but she couldn't find a minister to believe the Bible was literal. And she said a month later, God sent me there and to show her the Bible's literal. Now, that's been about 4 years ago, but she asked me the other day, why did it take me so long to get there? It took me 30 days to get there. But I didn't even know. My wife set up the appointment and everything, so you can see that how God works. But again, when you see the Bible as literal and you begin to understand it literally, she even made a comment that it's like she had never read the Bible because it has such a different message. Well, let's look at some of the verses and see how we have to take them literally. Turn to 2 Peter 3:9. And we'll see what this verse says. Move this down just a little. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing, now hear it, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, let's see you read that verse and you are at a Protestant. What do they believe? All? Now, as I look at this, I think back, and this is what got me going on this subject, is we understand what that means by the last great day. I can understand that God intends to save everybody. Now, it don't say that he will. He said he is willing that all should be saved. Now, I looked up in a commentary to see what the Protestants thought this meant. Well, first I looked up in Strong's Concordance, and it said, any really means nobody to perish. And I looked up the word all. It means all. God is going to offer salvation to everybody. Well, you cannot believe the Bible is literal unless you believe in the last great day, unless you understand the last great day. But here's what the Clark's commentary says. This means any that has been ordained in the Bible. Doesn't mean everybody that God's going to call or reveal the knowledge to, only those that he has called. Then in the second thing, says, not willing that any of his should perish. This is what all means and any means. Those that are God's, that's the only one. That's us. Well, God isn't just calling us. He's calling us to prepare to when he'll call everybody. And then on the third one, it says, any and all means whom he has elected. So he just has a small group of people. All three of these are referring to the elected and the called out ones. But what they don't understand, when you take the Bible literally and you begin to believe the Bible's literal, then God begins to open your eyes to the holy days. Now, if you understand what God's last great day represents, then you know there is a time God is going to offer salvation to any and all. Most people are going to be called, not during this time. They're going to be called after Christ returns and rules the 1,000 years and during the last great day. So the last great day explains a lot of verses that we don't understand. First, to turn to 1 Timothy 2:4. And I find out that I need my glasses changed, but I can't get them changed for another 3 or 4 weeks. So I'm either that or I need a magnifying glass while I'm up here. 1 Corinthians 2:4. It says, who will have. Doesn't say he's going to. God's will. He will have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. Now, how are they people that take this literally, who are they referring to? What about all the people that's never heard of Jesus Christ? Here it says he wants all men. God's will is to make all men to come into the knowledge of the truth. Well, we read back in John 4 that the knowledge of the truth is the Word of God. The Word of God is truth. So when God called you, and we always wonder, well, why us? Well, he called you because you believe the Bible was literal. He looked down, it says he was looked down, searching for who he can call. Why call somebody that doesn't believe the Bible's literal? All of you know Jack and Joyce Clevenger, when their son is a minister, but he doesn't believe, their church doesn't believe in the book of Revelations. And then there's other people that don't believe in the book of James. You know, what was it? I think it was Martin Luther that said the book of James was a book of straw. because it said you had to keep the law. So they pick on what they want, and you have 500 different churches telling you what this Bible says, but they do not believe it's literal. And I've also come to the conclusion now that when people leave the church, they quit believing the Bible's literal, or they find out it is literal and they don't want to do it, because it is a challenge to do it. God's going to reveal this knowledge through the truth. Now, you don't want to be a lie. In 1 Corinthians 2:10, turn there, and we'll read 1 Corinthians 2:10. But God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, the deep things of God. For what man knows is just the things of a man. But see, you have to first believe it's literal. That's where your faith comes in. You say this Bible's right. That's what I remember saying. I was in the bathroom at home and I said, this ought to be simple. He can keep the universe all together. The Bible ought to be simply kept together. And then I started having, I might have told you this, problems at the church, Methodist church that I went to. They sent me a letter once, and if I'd give another $50 or something, they was building a new church. They was going to move my name up one more notch on the pew. So I sent them the $50. You know, I was going to get a notch up on the pew. Then I read the Bible. It says, whenever you give, if you give to be seen of men, it says you got your reward. But if you don't do it to be seen of man, God will reward you. And I thought, well, I'd prefer God to reward me. So I went in and said, take my name off of that pew, which they did. And then about a month later, somebody said, I hear you donated all the furniture to Dr. Fridley's office. Not that I know of. So I go down there and look on the wall, and Jackie and Gordon Brackley donated this furniture. I said, take it down. I want to be rewarded by God. See, they do not live by the word of God. They have found out in most cases that if they reward somebody, they'll give more money. And I did before I read that verse. Well, I might have not have done it if they wanted $500, but $50? You know, I'll go up one pew for $50. But then I found out I shouldn't do anything. And so they do not believe the Bible is literal, even though they say they do. There are scriptures in here that's very hard to even believe when you think the Bible is literal. Now, I'm going to read you some verses here, and you can turn to them as you want. But if you look at John 1:29, it says, the next day John sees Jesus coming unto him, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Now, look up the word world. It means the earth, all the inhabitants of the earth. Jesus came to take away the sins of the world, not to the sins of the called out ones, which that was what they said, that when they said all men, it was the ones that God was calling. He intended to save the world. John 3:17, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. So when Christ came the first time, he came to save the world. You look up the word world, it talks about all the inhabitants in the world. Then in John 6:33, for the bread of God is he which come down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. So his whole plan was to give life unto everybody and offer it to everybody. But here's a good one that I quoted to Angie, because her husband's not in the church and my wife's not in the church. And if any of you have members not in the church, when I was doing this, I got to say, well, why are we trying to convert anybody? I mean, God's got a time that he's calling everybody. Why do I want to convert anybody? But listen, here at John 12:47. And if any man hear my words and believe not, God says, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but I come to save the world. So I said, if my wife hears this, if other people hear the message and believe not, God said he isn't going to judge him. This is the time he's going to judge him. Now, there is an important thing of learning what judgment means. Look in 1 Peter 4:17. It says, the time has come when the judgments must begin at the house of God. So judgment doesn't mean condemnation. Right now, God is judging his church, his called out ones. We are under the judgment. But God's not condemning us. He's offered us salvation. But a lot of times when we read judgment, we think that means God's going to condemnation and he's going to put you down. But judgment doesn't mean that. The world isn't being judged at this time. Only God's church, his called out ones, are being judged and offered salvation. So the word judgment itself means salvation. We're under judgment and we're being offered salvation. Now, when are the rest of mankind going to be called? Now here's really a good verse for them to have to believe. If you want to believe the Bible is literal. Turn to Hebrews 9:27 and let's see when the rest of men are going to be called. It's appointed for man once to die, and after this, the judgment. What? We're all going to die, and after this is the judgment? Well, after you're dead, that's when you're going to be judged. And if judgment means salvation, they can't believe that verse. But when I read that verse and know the holy days, and I know that there's going to be another resurrection, and I know that's when God's going to offer judgment and salvation to the world, I can believe this verse, and it's appointed man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Now, let me find this other reading. I went and looked up some commentaries to see what they said. No, this isn't the one I want either. I was going to lay these out and get them, but I'll find it. I had it in the bottom of my notes. But it didn't. Yeah, here it is. I looked up the commentary and what they believe, and one commentary said Enoch and Elijah have not died. Now, we know at one time we thought that, but if you've been in the church and if you haven't proved it, write for the books, Enoch and Elijah have not died. The Bible says, if you believe it literally, it's appointed for man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Therefore, either one of them is wrong. Well, he's wrong because we have proven, or I have proven, that Enoch and Elijah has died. And then it says, but after the judgment, and there's their comment, they shall die but once. There's only time once. If you believe what the Protestants believe, and you're only going to be judged once. Well, see, they think judge means condemnation. But judgment begins at the house of God. Does any of you feel like you're being judged to be done, that you lost your salvation? No. We know what judgment means, that we're being offered salvation. Then he says they can die but once. Well, if I'm going to read this, Revelation 4:20, verse 5, and then we'll get into it, the rest of it later. But it says, after the 1,000 years, the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. The rest of the dead, the last great day. When once you understand the last great day, you can understand every verse in the Bible that is not explainable by other churches. And then it says, blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death has no power. There's a second death, and there's no... So if you're in the first resurrection, the second death has no power. But these commentators that I looked up, man can only die once. But, of course, if you don't believe the book of Revelations, if you threw it out, you cannot believe the Bible, and you can't believe what God's Word says. And that's, as I say, there some churches believe that. But if you look that up, they'll have something that they want to explain. But the Bible says, you know, the appointed man wants to die, and after this, a judgment. If the Bible is literal, this verse has to be true. The last great day fills this prophecy. So since we know the last great day, and that's what I started studying, I was going to tie it to the suffering and so forth, but I began to see you have to understand the last great day for you to understand all these verses that other Protestant churches can do. And if you want to stay in the church, then you want to be sure you continue to believe the Bible's literal. And if there's something that it doesn't look that way, then call a minister and ask him or somebody that wants to reveal the Bible to you. Now, the last great day explains verse 25 there, but later 20 verse 5, but I'm going to cover that later. Now, doesn't the Bible say you can only be saved by Christ? Well, let's turn to Acts 4. Let's be sure the Bible says what we're saying it says. Acts 4 and verse 12. Neither is there any salvation to any other, but there is none other. There's another name under heaven given among men where we must be saved. Now, what about all the millions of people that's never heard of Jesus Christ? All of them are dying and burning in hell, and that's what they do believe. I seen a show some time ago, and I think his name was, is it Jerry Falwell? I know it was Falwell. He was up there with four other ministers, Jews, and different religions, and he stuck to this verse. The only name you can be saved by is Jesus Christ. And all the people that haven't heard of Jesus Christ, that's too bad. But if you know God's holy days, and you know Christ coming, you know the thousand-year reign, and you know the last great day, which is very important that you understand what the last great day is, then you can understand that it will just by Christ. Turn to 1 Timothy 2. I should have all these marked, but I... First Timothy 2 and verse 5 and 6. For there is but one God and one mediator between God and man. The only one man, that Jesus Christ, who gave him a ransom for all. Not just for the called out ones, not just for, and we're called out to be, we have a privilege and a special calling, but we're not better than anybody else. God only called you because you thought the Bible was literal and you believed it was the truth and you surrendered your will to Him. And one of my favorite verses is Romans 12. Give this body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord, which is your reasonable service. And how do you do it? By renewing the mind. Then it tells you you have to come out of the world. But after you do it a while, when I first came out of it, when you close your business on Saturday, everybody said it was business suicide. Well, I finally did it anyway, and I'm still here. Other businesses are gone, and I'm still here. I have learned over the period of time that living by God's law is beneficial. I'm not lying to anybody. All of His laws are for your benefit. Even when there's pressure to tell a lie. And I might have not told you this, but one time I was hitting my son on the back, and it sounded like this. My wife was in the kitchen, and she said, "Are you hitting him on the back?" Now, he was probably 3 or 4 years old, and I said no. And I don't want to, my wife didn't want me doing it, so I said no. Then I thought about it a minute, and I said, "Yeah, Jackie, I was hitting him on the back." But my first reaction was to give her the answer that she wanted to hear. But then God told me, "No, you can't do that, Gordon. You have to tell the truth." And one of the reasons that my business is still around is because people come to you because you won't lie to them, you don't let your help lie to them, and they don't believe all the superstores and all the things that's going on today. So I found out it's all of His laws are for my benefit. Now sometimes, like Joel brought out, I wonder, God, when is this one going to be beneficial? But I won't go into it, but God showed me this weekend. Well, I'll tell you one thing. There's a couple of things that happened in my business this weekend. And I knew that God did the answering. And also, I've been trying to rent out an apartment. I've run ads and everything. And I don't know if I ever asked God to do anything. The last, just a few days ago, I asked God, well, send me the person in the apartment and ruin my apartment. I did get a guy. He came off the ad. He worked at Ford Motor Company. He had a pension. He was about 55 years old. The ideal rental, because I don't have a young person and everything. That's what I was looking for. And I put him in there. And the heater went out. Boy, he came down and gave my son a problem. We found out, the guy that works for me said, well, when he was in here, I smelled alcohol on him. He was an alcoholic. And I came back in and I told him, well, what are you yelling about? We're going to put a new furnace up there. It's warm out. I went and got him an electric heater and I put the electric heater in. And I'm doing everything that, you know, a landlord can do. And then I was there Sunday morning and they was doing the carpet. And I went up and told the guy, Monday we're going to put the heater in. And this guy says, and I said, you weren't around Friday, so we didn't do it. And he said, well, I was in the hospital. And you're going to pay my hospital bill. And he was drunk again. I only seen him sober once. That's when I let him have the apartment. And I said, I'm not going to pay your hospital bill. And then he said, well, that heater's not doing it. And I said, well, you told the guy for me it was. But my point is, after that, I didn't run an ad. And last week, I asked God to send me the right person for my apartment. And Friday, a person came in and the guy that works for me knew the guy, and he's going to come in, and they're looking like they're going to rent the apartment. He's 29 years old. His mother said he doesn't drink and no dope and no thing. So I did all the things I was supposed to do, but one, I forgot to ask God to be included in on it. So when you do things, you can't just ask God and let the other go. But I tried my way. It didn't work too well. So I decided to ask God to do it, and it looks like God is answering a prayer. Only God, though, in this right here, it says it's only saved by Christ. And all in the millennium, all the people in China and Russia that never heard of God, are they lost? Only God's holy day can explain this answer. So see, if you understand God's holy days, you can read this, and something that would be completely out of the realm for anybody else, we should understand. But the last great day is the one that helps us to understand every one of these. How can Old Testament people be saved? They never heard of Christ or know about Christ. They only had physical blessings and curses for obeying and disobeying. The only ones that really knew about Christ in the Old Testament was the prophets, and God revealed Jesus and his plan to them. Turn to Acts 2, and let's see where the prophets did have that knowledge. And look at verse 29. It says, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and he's buried. I thought he was in heaven. I said, he's dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. And we don't hear about that much anymore. But where is his throne? You know, is Queen Elizabeth sitting on the throne of David? You know, they wouldn't buy that one. But let's just stick with this part. He, seeing this before, spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that his life was not left in the grave, neither did his flesh see corruption. So here David knew this. But also, David was promised a lot of things. Look at verse 34. David is not ascended into the heavens. Now, again, one day when I was talking to Angie, and I quoted that verse, and I looked it up, and she read it, and she said, well, that's what the Bible says. Now, before this, she believed you died and went to heaven. But when you believe the Bible was literal, therefore, David is not ascended into the heavens. But is he going to be resurrected? Now, I'm not going to have you to turn here, but I'm going to quote these verses. Ezekiel 34, verses 23 and 24. Ezekiel 37, verses 24 and 25. It talks about David being resurrected and David being a king over Israel. Now, the Bible's literal. Could you believe that? Do the Protestant? No, they do away with the Old Testament. So once you do away with the Old Testament, you don't have to get into those scriptures. The Bible is literal. And the more you believe the Bible is literal, and the more you surrender to God's will, and also sometimes ask for counseling to figure out the right way to do it, because sometimes you can get into difficulty. Ephesians 2:20. Verse 19 is talking about, therefore there are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, with the household of God, and are built upon the foundation. Here's what the church is built upon: the foundation of the apostles, the prophets, and Jesus Christ. So the purpose of the Old Testament and Christ being the chief cornerstone. Then in verse 21, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth with a holy and temple in the Lord, in whom you are also built together for the habitation of God through the Spirit. But the foundation, the purpose of the Old Testament, if you believe what the Bible says, and the New Testament says, the apostles and the prophets laid the foundation, and Jesus Christ being the cornerstone. We are building on that foundation. So again, understanding the holy days and understanding God's Word and understanding it's inspired. Now, what about the rest of Israel? Are they done? Turn to Romans 11. And I sometimes wonder when I go all through all this, and sometimes I look it up. Romans 11 and verse 7. Well, look at verse 1. I wonder how they explain all of these verses, when they're so plain to us if you understand the holy days. Verse 1, it says, I say, has God cast away his people? No, God forbid. But look at verse 7. What then? Is Israel had not obtained that which he had seeketh for, but the election has? Israel hasn't obtained it, and the rest were blinded? Did God blind people? Well, if he did, how are they going to be saved in Jesus' name? Well, if you don't believe in the last great day, if you don't believe there's another resurrection, that there's a second resurrection, and that's when most people that live in the first 6,000 years is going to be called. There's only a few of us now at this time, and we ought to rejoice that God has called us and opened our eyes and showed us this. In verse 8, according to it is written, God has given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. Look in verse 11. And I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Well, God forbid. He blinded them, but they dared not have them fall. But rather through the fall, salvation is coming to the Gentiles. Salvation has come to us and the world, or being offered to the world. Now, verse 12. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminish of them be the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Now, one of the Bible translations, NIV, says, how much will be their full inclusion? Well, what happens when God decides to call them? Look at verse 15. If the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be? Life from the dead. It's not going to be a spiritual life. But if you know Revelations 20, which we'll get to in a little bit, you know that there is going to be a physical resurrection. But look at verse 25. I would not, brethren, that you be ignorant of this wisdom. You don't be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits. So if you know about it, what we do know, God revealed to us. We don't get wise in our own conceits. We get wise because God opened our eyes. He revealed us. You can't come to God unless you're called. That's another good one to ask a Protestant, what does it mean? John 6:44. You didn't find God. God found us. God looked down and said, that guy believes the Bible is literal. I'm going to see if he really does. Now, I really did, but it took me a year to close my business. I didn't say, whoopee, I get to close my business. No, I had to close it and then rely on God to do the blessing and understand that you are blessed from it. But here, you'll be conceited if you think you know that. But I would not, brethren, that you be ignorant of this mystery and be wise in your own conceit, that blindness is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in, and then all Israel is going to be all having an opportunity to be saved. So, again, proving the last holy day, I'm really glad that I did this research because I couldn't put all this together. You have to believe not only all the holy days, but the last one is the one that explains all the difficult verses, all the ones that the Protestants and so forth can use. Now look in verse 30. For as you in times past have not believed God, you didn't believe God in times past. God called you, and he opened your eyes, and he drew you to Jesus. You have now obtained mercy because of their unbelief. Because Israel's unbelief, we have obtained that mercy. Now look at verse 31. Even so have these also now believed that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. We have to obtain mercy. But the mercy is God's mercy. Romans 5 says you get to have the love of God through the Spirit of God. What is the fruits of the Spirit? Love and joy and peace and mercy and faith. Everything comes from God. You don't have, it isn't your mercy. You know, you can have a love, like we love our wife and we love our children, but that's a sort of a selfish love too. But the love of God is what we have to have, and it comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. But they're going to be saved through your mercy. For in verse 32, for God has concluded them and us all in unbelief. You didn't come. You was in unbelief until God called you and started to open your eyes. Now what we do, and it should show us how thankful we can be because we have been called and we know that. Oop, turned too many pages. Now, when will the resurrections take place? Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. And look, verse 20. For now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam, all die. Now that's an easy belief. Even Enoch and Elijah, by the way, died. But, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now, of course, the Protestant religion believes you never die. You die and go to hell, and it says it's been appointed for man once to die. And here it says, but through Christ all shall be made alive. So that means they're dead. All means they're dead. They're made alive. But every man in his own order. Christ is the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. And there's what we just went through celebrating the Feast of Trumpets. When Christ is going to come and we're going to be resurrected and have a Philippians 4:20, this vile body is going to be changed like into his glorious body. 1 John 3:2, I don't know what I'm going to be like, but I know I will be like Jesus Christ. I'll have the body of Jesus Christ. And all things work together for God that loves God. And when Angie quoted that to me, that was her grandfather or somebody's favorite verse. But the last part of it says, for those that are called. It says, those who love God, everything works in on the total thing, for their advantage, for those who are called. And the next verse says, because you are being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. We are to act like Christ, walk like Christ. We are to have the mind of Christ. We're to have the faith of Christ. We're to have the love of Christ in God. We're to have the joy, the mercy, and everything comes from him. None of it comes from us. Then in verse 24, then cometh the end. Well, if you know what Isaiah 20:18 means, here a little and there a little. This is written. Now, when I was out at the feast, I was talking to somebody, and he was telling me how his wife had read the Bible from front to end, I think 8 times. And they was all talking, well, I read the Bible front to end once or twice. And they asked me, I've never read the Bible from front to end. Not just sit down and read it. I probably read it all, but I've never read it from front to end. Because I'm not going to understand it if I read it from front to end. I'm going to understand it when God says in Isaiah 28, it's here a little and there a little. I knew the New Testament. I didn't know the Old. Then God said, well, you need to learn the Old. Now that I read it and I've studied it all, and I'm sure I've read it all, but I never have sat down. But they was talking about that, looked like that was going to be a way that you're going to understand the Bible. It might improve your understanding, but you're only going to understand it when it's here a little and there a little. Because right here at verse 24, then cometh the end when he shall deliver. Where is the end? It's after the 1,000 years. See, it says, all are made alive, so there's going to be a certain time order. Christ first, we're second. Who's third? Turn to Revelation 20. In Revelation 19, in verse 11, I saw the heaven open, behold, a white horse, and he that cometh sat up him was called the faithful and true in righteousness, and he does judge to come and make war. Feast of Trumpets, right there. Christ is coming. He's going to smite the nations, in verse 15. In chapter 20, verse 1, I saw an angel come down from heaven, the key of the bottomless pit. He laid it in verse 2, and he laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil, and he bound him 1,000 years. So when is the end going to come? Not when Jesus Christ returns. That's when the end of Satan's world is going to be there. And Satan's going to be bound 1,000 years. And he's going to cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up. And he's going to set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more. This is Satan's world. And I comment this more to people when they complain about the way things are going, the way the politics are going. This is Satan's world. And I really like this one. I was talking to Terry. And time I talk to some people, and some of you people talk like you're a Democrat or you're a Republican, or you think the Democrats are right or you think the Republicans are right. Terry said, tell them they both ate of the same tree. Democrats and Republicans. They all end up at the same thing. This last one, they finally agreed and settled. And you know what they do? They had a little pork in it. There was a dam in one country for a couple of $1,000,000 that went in there. Here we're trying to reduce the budget. Now, our big argument over all this is how to reduce our money that we're spending. And since they couldn't get it done, they added about $2 or $3 more billion to it. One was in Oklahoma, I think it was, for the roads, and another one for a dam. You can't pass it without cutting the budget, and you have to raise the budget. They all eat at the same tree. By the way, they were Republicans. I think both of them were. Now, in verse 4, and I saw thrones. Not one. One throne is what Jesus is sitting on. I saw thrones, and they, plural, that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. Not condemnation, judgment. So what? Then we're going to judge the world. This is the people that are called out, the God's called out ones, and it was given unto them. And then it goes on and explain the ones that they are, those that have died for the word of God, had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received a mark in their head and their forehead, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But, verse 25, the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. So in 1 Corinthians 15, it said Christ was the first, then those that are Christ was second, then comes the end. But the end doesn't come until Christ comes and he rules the earth for 1,000 years. And after that, the rest of the dead are going to be resurrected. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. That's what we want. We want to be in the first resurrection. Surrender our will to God's will. Be in the first resurrection. Have the body of Christ and the mind of Christ. Then I won't have all the doubt or anything. I'll be a brother of Jesus Christ. But the second death will have no power. The world does not believe that. No wonder they throw the book of Revelations out. It's the only one that proves the last great day. All these difficult scriptures are proven by the last great day. All men God is willing to call. And there is going to be a second resurrection. And there is going to be a second death. So I got here, the saints will live after the 1,000 years. The rest of the dead will. The last great day. Now, in Colorado, one thing that I noticed was brought out in the last great day, it shows God's love. This minister stressed God's love and mercy This is the last great day. God has a plan to save my wife. God has a plan to save all mankind. So we don't need to be trying to convert people. Do any of you try that? Do I ever drop a little verse here and there and think my wife might get it? You know. I got a favorite saying that all of you heard me. Shut up. Now, it took me years to learn that. I even caused a separation in my and I was separated from my wife 10 years. I finally learned it the hard way. So now when I tell you to shut up, I know what I'm talking about. I caused all kind of problems. And I bet if I'd go back and research all the literature, how many times Mr. Armstrong told me to shut up. He might not have used that word. You can't convert anybody. Only thing you can do is surrender your will to God's will. And you got to be reading the book to know God's will. The second death will have no power. There has to be a physical resurrection if there's to be a second death. Those that take part in the first resurrection, the second death has no power, so they're spiritual. But if there is a second death, then that second resurrection had to be physical. Is there any place in the Bible that talks about a physical resurrection? Well, Ezekiel 37. They even have a song about it. I don't know how many of you heard it, but when I was young, you know, the hip bones hooked to the side. I don't know all the words to it, but there was a song about that. But they didn't believe it, that there's a physical resurrection. And there was an interesting thing. There's a verse when you read that. Let's turn to there just for 1 minute. I want to quote a certain verse. Ezekiel 37. And let's look at verse 13. Well, let's go back to verse 12. Then there's a prophecy, and saying to them, God said, Behold, O my people, I will open your grave, and I will cause you to come up out of your graves, and I'll bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know. You want to know when Israel is going to be called? You shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves and my people and brought you up out of your graves. You shall And I shall put my spirit in you. So when there's a resurrection and a resurrection physical, it's going to be easier to show them because they're not fighting Satan. And also I can show them 1,000 years of the way God has ruled this earth. Everything is perfect. No wars, no nothing. And all you got to do is ask them to think back into your time. I can think back in mine. There was World War I. There was World War II. There was the Korean. No, World War I didn't make it. My dad did. World War II, Korean War, Vietnam War, and then all kinds of wars are going on now. Look at all the problem. Look at all the suffering. And now then the laws that are being passed on gay marriages, and they're avoiding God, and they end up paying the penalty. But in verse 14, I shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. And then shall you know that I am the Lord that has spoken it, and I performed it. So God is trying, has a plan to save everybody. But you have to understand the last great day. Also, it's beneficial to know the Passover and trumpets and atonement and Feast of Tabernacle. But you have to understand the last great day when God talks about all. So you can read that chapter, and it's probably read to you out. And when you was at the feast. And then verse, let's go back to Revelations. And verse, I'll read Revelations 20. Well, we'll finish verse 6 and then we'll go on. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. Now you notice you're going to be holy. Right now, what are we doing? Developing holy, righteous, perfect character. Developing God's character. But when we are made a spirit being, we will be holy. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such a second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God of Christ and will reign with 1,000 years. Then in verse 10, And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet were, and shall be tormented day and night. And then verse 12, which is the second resurrection. And I saw the dead. Now God become. I saw the dead, the great stand before God. And the books were open. The Bibles were open. And the book was open, which is the book of life. So here is the second resurrection. And then that goes into a third resurrection. All of these people, we know that's the second resurrection. Well, who will be in the resurrection in this last great judgment? Turn to Matthew 11. And how do they explain these verses if you don't believe in the last great day? Chapter 11, verse 21 of Matthew. Woe unto you, I think that's pronounced Chorazin, and to you, Bethsaida, I think it is. For if the mighty works which were done in you and had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago. Well, here's two nations. If this work had been done in other nations, they'd have repented. Well, why wouldn't have God done it if he's trying to save the world? That wasn't his plan on how to save the world. Look at verse 22. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And then in verse 23, and thou, Capernaum, which are exalted into the heaven and shall be brought down to the grave, if the mighty works had been done in you, had been done in Sodom. What? Sodom is not judged yet? Sodom and Gomorrah that's burned up? And that's we can go back and see what the penalty is when you don't live by God's will, had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. So here's people in different nations that are going to be resurrected in the time of judgment. Now turn to Matthew 12 and verse 40. Well, it talks about, for as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale, the belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the earth. They don't believe that. When my wife had somebody invite me to a Baptist church when I was coming in, I went there and it was Easter time, and this minister got up and said, I know the Bible says 3 days and three nights, but that's neither here nor there. If the Bible's literal, it means 3 days and it means three nights. Can't be Friday and Sunday. Can't be a day and a half. But it isn't hard to prove he was resurrected on Saturday. That isn't my point here. Jonas was in 3 days and three nights. The man of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation. So here we have the people in Nineveh. Here we have the people in Capernaum. Different people being resurrected at this time. And the man in Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation, not in condemnation. They're going to be raised in judgment. And we need to know, and I'm going to try and do a research on it, we ought to need to know God's statutes, not just his Ten Commandments. We need to know all of the laws in the Old Testament. And then we need to know them because we are going to be sitting in judgment. We're going to be able to teach people. Don't do that. I did it. Don't do that. Claren did it. I guess I ought to pick on Scott instead of Claren. But all of these people will live at the same time with that generation. Jesus gave enough examples of people living in a widespread time to prove that most of humanity will be resurrected at the same time. So the Bible, how do they explain these? They don't take it literally because Sodom is not even in judgment yet. So, but there will be a time there'll be a third resurrection. Now, when I got all done with that, I picked up our and the one in prophecy, the good news in prophecy. And on this article, how does God identify himself? God reveals himself by two methods. His written word, the Bible, and through the evidence of creation. And that just exactly is the way that I started to believe the Bible. But it has to be his written word, the literal Bible. Because I had read the Bible from the time I was 19 till I was 35 years old. And then I said, this Bible has to be right. God said, well, let's see if he really believes that. But in Romans 8, 19 and 20, it said, if you want to prove there's a God, just look at the creation. That's proof there's a God. Now, where is that God and where is that church? But here, God reveals himself two messages, his written, and I'm going to add the word literal Bible, his word, and through the evidence of creation. So we want to be sure, today we need to convince ourselves, and I have come more convinced that the Bible is literal going through this, more convinced of the last great day. I've come more convinced that the holy days are right. You know, now, another little thing that I had when I closed my business on the holy days. Every year I wonder, how am I going to close my business? I only work 5 days a week. How am I going to, out of 4 weeks, close one day for 3 weeks in a row? Well, I still say, well, God, you said you would bless it, so I'm not going to help it anyway. And when I was gone after the first week, I called back and I said, well, how's things going? And my son said, well, Justin has sold four orders of stainless steel. Not just one. They come in and bought a refrigerator, everything that goes in the kitchen. And we had one of the best Septembers, the best month we've had probably in this year. And was only open 4 days out of three. 4 days, 3 weeks was only on 4 days. And can you imagine they'd done it without me there? As you know, I don't do. My son's the one that runs the business. I still work from 9 to 6, but I just go into from 4 to 6 last night, we had 6 customers in there at one time. And you got to have more people there to be able to do it. So what I wanted to stress to you, we have to believe the last great day. You've got to believe this Bible is literal. Surrender to its word. And if you believe the Bible is literal, God will open your eyes and show you how all of these scriptures. Now, every one of these different whole scriptures is proved by the last great day. And if we didn't know God's holy days, we wouldn't understand the Bible.